Welcome to Afterword. This is Peter, and today's sermon recap is from 2 Peter 3, 1 through 7. In this paragraph, the Apostle Peter is discipling our memories in two ways. First, remember God's word. That is, verse 2, the predictions of the holy prophets in the Old Testament, the commandment of the Lord and Savior through your apostles, the New Testament. Remember God's word. Secondly, reject scoffers' words. The scoffers were mocking the coming of Jesus because they reasoned he hasn't come, so we can assume he won't. But Peter contends that they are deliberately overlooking, intentionally forgetting God's story. And he gives three examples: creation, flood, final judgment. Peter refers to these to illustrate the folly of assuming that Jesus is not going to return simply because he hasn't yet. Now, the way Peter pushes back against the scoffers is extremely important. He pulls the camera back and gives us a wide angle view of God's huge story so we can see the way a healthy memory enables us to wait well. A memory shaped by, enriched by the scriptures, filters out scoffing and focuses our waiting, our expectation. Let me illustrate this. If you're meeting a friend for dinner at Sobeys downtown and she doesn't show up, 10 minutes, 15 minutes, you wait, you text, no response. If your friend has a habit of forgetting, or double booking, if she has left you eating alone multiple times simply because she has many other things to think about and doesn't prioritize your dinners, then those memories will shape how you wait. You might even slip into some scoffing. Not again, you think. Who does she think she is? Does she think I have nothing else to do but sit around and wait for her? I'm out of here. I'm done with her. You can't trust her word. But what if your friend is never late? What if she lives a very intentional life and she truly values people and their time? She does what she says she will do, and you know she is looking forward to the time with you. In what ways do these memories shape the way you wait? Well, most likely you will assume the best. She must have experienced some kind of traffic delay, or whatever held her up has got to be really important, or I hope she's okay. In both cases, you are waiting. But in one case, you are waiting in a state of frustration, impatience, maybe even scoffing. But in the other case, you're waiting with patience, understanding, maybe some concern. Your memory of the past shapes your waiting for the future. The Apostle Peter is pointing out that the scoffers deliberately overlook who God is and the way he works. Their intentional amnesia is the result of a memory shaped by cynicism rather than scripture, where God tells us his plans, reveals his character, and even helps us to know what we can't know. Cynicism and scoffing result when we superimpose our expectations over God's story to try to make him meet our predictions and expectations of the way he should work. So we end up waiting, or really not waiting, because we're so full of impatience, doubt, and distraction. Peter is calling us into a much better mindset. As in Hebrews 10:23, let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. When God says he will meet you at Sobeys, he will meet you at Sobeys. He is a man of his word. On Sunday, I skipped over an image in the notes to save some time. I want to come back to that because it helps us see how our view of the past shapes our lives in the present and our expectation of the future. Many years ago, I was hiking on a mountain in Africa. And if you turned off the path to the right, you'd fall off a steep cliff. And if you turned off the path to the left, you would fall off a steep cliff. So the safest way forward was not to turn aside, but to look ahead and stay on the path. In passages like Galatians 5, the Apostle Paul picks up on this image and likens the Christian life to staying in step with the Spirit, walking in this path of freedom, of liberty in His grace. To the right of liberty is a steep cliff called legalism. And to the left of liberty is a steep cliff called license. Legalism to the right is when we add merit to grace, thinking we can somehow earn favor with God. We, in essence, neglect grace. License to the left is when we abuse grace, thinking we can live any way we want because we prayed a prayer, we're good to go. So rather than walking in the liberty, the freedom of God's energizing favor, we fall off the cliff to the right into legalism or the cliff to the left into license. What is fascinating, and I believe relevant to what Peter is covering in 2 Peter 3, is the way the New Testament writers approach these two cliffs. Not always, but quite often, the New Testament writers confront the cliff of legalism to the right by taking us back to justifying grace. And they often confront the cliff of license to the left by taking us forward to glorifying grace. Let me give you one example of each. When the Galatian believers were trying to add requirements like circumcision for salvation, Paul confronts this cliff of legalism by turning back to the source of justification. In Galatians 2, he asks them if they were justified, that is, declared right with God, by the works of the law or by faith in Jesus. Of course, only by grace through faith in Jesus. But when Peter is warning his readers of the cliff of license in 1 Peter 1, so that they will not be conformed to the passions of their former ignorance, he invites them to, quote, set your hope fully on the grace that will be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. So again, there are many exceptions, but quite often we remember how we were justified to evade the cliff of legalism. We look back and we look forward with expectation to our glorification at the coming of Jesus to evade the cliff of license. In this way, we are surrounded by grace behind and before, and our memory of the past is shaping our expectation of the future. Let's end with a couple of questions to think about. First, is my memory shaped more by scoffing than by Scripture? Second, if so, how can I renew my mind so I wait for Him with expectation rather than cynicism, so I'm not sitting at Sobeys simmering in resentment? Third, how does a gospel-saturated memory of past, present, and future grace protect us from the cliff of legalism and the cliff of license? Thank you so much for joining us for Afterwards.